Okay, calling the meeting to order for the Santa Barbara Adult Education Block Grant, and I'd like to take roll to see who is here and establish a quorum. Tony Bauer?
Here.
Ray McDonald?
Here.
And Micheline Miglis from the Carpentry Unified School District is absent, and my name is Melissa Marino. I'm the chair of the consortium representing Santa Barbara Community College District. So welcome everyone. We're happy to see our chairs fill during our public process, so that's very exciting for us. We will have public and entity comment as agenda item number 5, so if you're interested in making any comments, there's comment slips in the back of the room that need to come forward to the chair so that I can call out. Before I turn it over to our AEBG coordinator, Corle Prieto, I want to just say that Corle, as usual, has been incredible and amazing in the work that she's done. We, you know, halfway killed ourselves with the trying to get the one-year plan draft for public consumption, and so that's up. And we also had an incredible ride with the State of California Adult Education Block Grant Office with our first round of student data reporting. And so while I was abroad, the state released the student data reporting templates, which was shocking. And I had an email from our institutional research office, our dear friend Dr. Friedlander, that said, call me ASAP, because we backlogged their whole research office with a one-week window, and it was kind of crazy. But Corley and I got through it, so thank you so much. And I would love to turn it over to you for some quick legislative updates and kind of where we are.
Business as usual.
Yes, business as usual.
Those timelines.
So as our consortium chair mentioned, we had quite a few. We had quite a few deliverables to the state that it was a really fast turnaround. And so let's start by the years. So for AEBG, as we know, let's start with the 2015-2016 updates, and then I'll move to 2016-2017 updates, because those are two different deliverables. As you know, we are slowly approaching the closing of our 2015-2016 grant cycle, which ends in December of this year. Now, what we're required to do is submit our second quarter expenditures and progress report was submitted to the state July 29th. We gave them and provided an itemized budget of what we spent to date. We also submitted data collection. I mean, that everything that was required, or at least to date, of our figures, our numbers. And that's a major effort that the state wants every consortium to dedicate their efforts to, is collecting data, really doing analysis of the courses, the students enrolled. In fact, that's where we did quite a bit of scrambling, but we were able to work with, and this is one to really cheer on and give huge thanks to one of our new community partners who we work closely with, and that's the Office of Institutional Assessment, Research, and Planning. We've always, to this point, we've worked with them, unofficially, but this time they saved the day, and so I want to really pay credit to them. And so for now, moving into the 2016-2017 AEBG grant cycle, the updates are, we had a request for proposals bidders conference in our one-year planning meeting on July 6th, and we also had, and that was successful. I've been working with a couple of prospective applicants that are just excited to learn more about the best methods on submitting a great competitive request for proposals. So I'm looking forward to receiving them. They're due this Friday, August 5th. Now, moving forward, something else to announce. The state recently allocated $123,000 to our consortium to dedicate our efforts for the 2016-2017 year towards data allocation. That means finding out. That means really that, excuse me, searching for a private, whether it be a private or public collection agency for data. And that's actually something that the state recognized when they gave us this most recent deliverable, which is to provide all the data. And we thought, well, how are we going to do this? So they have allocated this fund, you know, this amount. But that's in addition to our 773 allocation for this year. And let's see. Okay, so a couple of other things. If we want to, actually welcome our new partners, our Santa Barbara County Employees University, because a community partner, in addition to our Office of Institutional Assessment, Research, and Planning at SBCC. And let's see, we also want to introduce to you our new program leader for our adult high school and GED, as well as ESL program. Lisa Gardner Flores did a fantastic job, and she has since moved on, and we're so excited to have someone who just started this week, is Sylvia Morgan. Oh, and so she looks forward.
What time?
And there she is. The timing is perfect. And so she is our new program lead, and we look forward to working with her, especially for our new grant cycle. And lastly, we want to say a special thank you to the consortium for picking a one-member fiscal agent. That's really, that made our job so much easier, because doing this second year plan, we realized that having the one-member fiscal agent just streamlined the entire process, and the financial office has done an extraordinary job to make this process easier and to help us allocate our funds and have our program leads just receive their funds easily and timely. And so there was no confusion. So that was one of the easier of the three reports that were due delivered. So that's about.
And we have seen other consortia struggle with these, you know, they've allocated to several mm-hmm. different members, and mm-hmm. the reporting for them has just been a nightmare, I'd say, given what came out 2 weeks ago of what is required for these templates. So everybody was scrambling, so we really do appreciate that. It was a
smart move.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gourlay. And now we are at public and entity comment, and I have two entity comment slips. One from Kathy Webb with the United Cerebral Palsy Organization. Yeah, come on up to the podium, and we'd like to limit comment to about 3 minutes so that we can continue to conduct our timely meeting.
Well, we're going to be good, because I will definitely
thank you.
Hit the 3 minute mark, no problem.
Thank you.
So, I am Kathy Webb, and I'm the Executive Director of UCP Work Inc., or Work Inc., as we're known in Santa Barbara. UCP Work Inc. is one of the largest providers of vocational services for people with disabilities throughout Santa Barbara. And several years ago, we were asked to join the AB 86 Consortia. Comprised of representatives from Santa Barbara City College, Department of Rehab, and Tri-County's Regional Center to develop a proposal that would enhance employment preparedness and outcomes for people with disabilities. This group has continued to meet consistently over the years, and we have developed a program that will absolutely enhance employability and job sustainability for people with disabilities. I wrote this in the parking lot 5 minutes ago.
You're doing great, Gil. You're doing great.
So we're here today to support this proposal, and we strongly encourage you to award funding so that they can move ahead. And I just have to tell you a quick story, and then I'll sit down because I know I'm well within my 3 minutes. I've been in this field since 1974, and I spent many years as a job developer, and I made a lot of mistakes. You know, for example, I had a guy, Bob, who I was asked to develop a job for up in Paso Robles, and he was a young guy, pretty much fresh out of high school. He drove a truck, and I thought, this is going to be a piece of cake. And I went out as a new job developer, and I developed him a job myself. Didn't take Bob with me, but I figured I could find him a job, and I did, as a pool cleaner. I thought, this is it. This is going to be it. You know, a great job for Bob. And so on his first day of work, I jumped in his truck with him, and we went off to start his first day on the job. And as we were driving along, Bob was nervous, so nervous. And I'm like, why are you so nervous, Bob? And he said, I don't know how to swim.
Oh my God.
And I hadn't done my homework, admittedly. And but also what was lacking was that foundation, you know, that getting to know who Bob really was and helping him build a foundation so he could strongly enter the workforce with a clear understanding of what he really was capable of doing and where he could be successful. And helping him learn the important skills that you need to have in order to be competitive out in the workforce. And this program builds that foundation that is so necessary to assure success. So again, I strongly encourage you to give us, you know, at least 3 sets of thumbs up to move this along. Thanks so much.
So you want to mention the name of the official name of the proposal?
It's the Work Readiness and Career Planning Certificate for Adults with Disabilities.
Okay. Thank you.
I just figured I might as well get it into the record. You know, why not?
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
And next we have Julie Holmes with the Department of Rehabilitation.
Thank you. So I just wanted to give a pitch for the Work Readiness and Career Planning Certificate proposal that will be coming to you. As Kathy already mentioned, we've been working in our community together for quite a while, and we're really excited about this opportunity and being able to leverage this RFP into maybe something larger. Department of Rehabilitation, here in Santa Barbara, we serve about 1,200 people a year, many of which do pursue a vocational training at Santa Barbara City College. And so, as I mentioned last time I was here, sometimes they're not successful on the big campus because of some of the skills advisories and the inability to take classes more than twice and things like that. And so there's a population that has maybe cognitive difficulties that might be able to benefit on the non-credit side and learn, explore their career, and also learn soft skills. And so that's what we're looking at here as far as providing a work readiness and career planning certificate. We would also have a program coordinator who would work with the students as far as getting into paid and non-paid internships, and eventually getting into either more career training, either here at Adult Ed or making the bridge over to the main campus, and also get into permanent work. What we're looking at is if we get this running, we can actually use this as a in-kind match to bring down federal dollars and do a Workability 2 program with adult education, continuing education, and Department of Rehabilitation. And that would fund, it would be a permanent way to fund the services, the vocational services mm-hmm. that the students would need. As far as job placement, it would fund paid internships, or we call it work experience, and it also would fund you know, some of the basic things that people need, transportation, work clothes, work tools, and further training. So that's the long version, the long-term outlook on it, and I know we would really enjoy it if you would support that.
Thank you very much.
So this is one of the proposals that's due to come in by the 5th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we were, just to kind of bring up to speed, we were dark in July, and so Coralie mm-hmm. and I instead had a bidders conference.
I remember. Yeah.
And we also had a sort of a partnership meeting and showcased our one-year goals and
mm-hmm.
had a community conversation that was really helpful. And so the community helped to at that meeting to inform our one-year plan goals,
mm-hmm.
which is really important, you know, as we move forward to have community input. And there's opportunity still for community input. The one-year plan technically isn't due until August 15th, so we have an opportunity to work a little with it, but this is our last meeting before that. So
yes, we for Monday.
We
so.
Want, yeah. So we want to get the consortium's blessing.
Unless you
want to
have a special meeting.
Maybe a, well, I don't think we'll need a special meeting, but maybe a provisional acceptance of
sure.
what we've drafted so that
okay.
we can move forward and submit that to the state.
Exactly.
So we have a consent item, which is the June 1st. Public meeting minutes that is in our packet.
So moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And then our action items is approval of the 2016-17 plan. Now, hopefully you've had an opportunity to review some of it, but I would like to walk us through a little bit of it so that you can understand kind of what we've worked on. So the first few pages are sort of areas that exist from our first round that we're not making any
Excuse
changes.
For the folks in the audience, she's talking about this document right here if you want to follow along. Just so you know.
Annual plan 2016-17.
Yeah. And I think there are there some on the table
yeah,
back there in case they don't have in front of them. Okay.
Okay.
I just thought I'm kind of looking. So
yeah, yeah. No, thank you. Thank you very much. So anyway, the first few pages are just sort of administrivia. We're not making any changes to our membership. We're not making any changes to our fiscal or our governance. We've been operating under the governance plan for a while, and it seems to work. We changed our organizational chart a couple of meetings ago to include our adult education block grant coordinator. Our allocation, again, we've done a single member allocation. So what this means is that all the funding has been issued to the Santa Barbara Community College District for dissemination to our request for proposal, program leads, and to any member. So this was just for convenience. It doesn't mean that Santa Barbara Community College District is necessarily spending all those funds alone. It doesn't mean that at all. It's just for reporting convenience, and I want to thank my fellow members for supporting that model.
And that was the thing you just talked about earlier,
yes.
about working so well and that other people
yes.
weren't actually benefiting from.
That's right. So we put together an executive summary. We've reiterated our mission, vision, and for that we had in our original three-year plan. We feel pretty satisfied that those the mission and vision that we established at our three-year plan stage still is ringing true, and we are reporting in our executive summary as requested mid-year program accomplishments, and so what I want to do is move to focus on the new goals for 16-17 because that's what's new that the consortium has not seen, and this was something we discussed in our community meeting last month. So I just want to highlight seven goals. I think it's seven. Number one is our administrative office will focus on data collection. And actually what's interesting about that is I don't know if the state sort of softened the blow when they sent us all these pages and pages of templates to give us another 123,000, you know, throw a little cash to ease the pain. But we stated that as a goal, knowing that this is the direction we needed to go in, without knowing what those templates were and without knowing that we were going to have extra funding for that. So I think this is seriously aligned with where we need to be with the state. Number two is work to integrate programs and begin to work collaboratively to improve student outcomes. So I think coming from Corlay and my perspective that the program leads are sort of working in silos because it was our first year, they got funding, they've been like nose to the grindstone, and we really want to have those program leads be communicating with each other because the work overlaps. So we're going to look at that. Three is to continue the focus on the 15-16 funded programs because that's overlapping. Our goal is to expand by December. Our program leads appear to be on track for that, but they will continue to require support from our office. And if they don't expand, we don't have to give money back under this grant. But we really do want to kind of move that along so we can focus on 16-17 programs. Number five is a focus on the development of new program areas to include adults with disabilities and perhaps an enhancement of existing community programs for older adults who serve K-12. So this goes back to last year. We, as a consortium, decided we needed to be data-driven. We weren't all that excited about the March 1st, 2015 AB 86 proposal of that Adults with Disability Program. We felt very strongly that we needed to really collect more data. We now have a draft of the study that Ray's office commissioned. We worked with our Adults with Disabilities partners to review that draft, and I'm feeling really good about moving forward with the Adults with Disabilities program, and we're thankful that we're going to see a proposal. And so, and we're also waiting on the older adults with serving K-12. We're waiting on that coming, something that was commissioned out of your office. So we're not sure about that, but if we see data that supports that, would also be a new program that we would develop. So just for those of you present, the Adult Education Block Grant has seven program areas that we are to focus on, and our first year we focused on five and left these two for further study. And so now that we're entering year two, we're ready to explore all seven areas. Now, where is number six?
Front to back.
I know.
So that's why I never do it, because I get lost.
Oh, here it is, six. Okay. Six is at the
top
of the next page. Create a mechanism to allow for employer and industry engagement. So it's time, one of our primary mission is to lead students to jobs, and so it's time for us to engage industry, and so we're going to be taking a deep dive this year into how we engage employer and industry, and working with the new one-stop operator is probably part of that formula. And then finally, number seven is work toward developing a job placement and internship mechanism to enable collection of these outcomes for year three, because we've committed in our three-year plan to be showing these job and internship outcomes. And so now's the time to really create a pathway to accomplish that. Is there any discussion on our new goals with fellow colleagues?
No, they seem right on target, because what we're planning on doing is just kind of getting our foundation, doing the first cycle, and now we're really starting to get into implementation and getting out there and doing some things.
Yeah.
I really see that as being positive.
And then we have listed all of our stakeholders, although this is included but not limited to. So if we have any other community entities or community partners interested in partnering with us, we are an inclusive organization and expect to grow our partnership list. And so please, if you are here and not on the stakeholder list, please engage with Corlay to have that conversation. And we will add you to that list, and our list keeps growing. So we're very excited about that. We are really supposed to be partnering with every adult education provider in our area.
If I can just, yeah. I just want to, again, I'm very pleased to see, and I know you and Corlay worked on this and did some background meetings, but I'm very pleased to see the County Employees University group on here.
Yes, that's so new.
That's new, very good.
We're excited too. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting a proposal from that group as a partner with a Santa Barbara City College program, so that'll be interesting for us. Okay, so
I may have to recuse myself on that since I'm an employee of the county.
You may have to.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I may have to as well, so we'll see how that goes. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We won't have anybody able to vote to accept it. Jeez.
We'll be the only two who can vote on that.
It's a lot of pressure.
No, power, Tony, power.
So a lot of this showcased our successes, which we feel was at the last public meeting was really, we sat and listened to all of our program leads report on their successes, and so I feel that the membership is pretty well apprised of what we're doing and the progress that we're making. And then this, I think we should go over the budget, this, the really tiny print document, and then I think after that, we can just take a look at our activities. So I just wanted to highlight what we've done. Now, every consortium was given funding late.
Yeah.
We started technically July 1 of 2015, but we didn't get our funding until January. And so the state is well aware of the lag in our expenditures. We have under expended technically for the first 6 months, but so has everyone. So we're in alignment with all the other consortium in having a lag in funding and expending, but we've lined everything up with our program leads to expend in the next 6 months the major chunk of what was allocated. And so on here, you see this is 2015-16. So we reallocated a couple of budget items to match up with what we allocated to program leads. That's been approved and accepted by the state. So
that's sort of a carry forward is what you're saying?
Yeah, so so this was, so this is sort of where we are. This column is where we are with our allocations, and they make you do it in a weird way. They make you do it three times. So this is by program area of where we've allocated, but it's not exactly what we awarded the programs because we need to include our administrative expense. So Corlay's salary is
spread across
mm-hmm. all program okay. areas, and any other administrative expenses spread across. So this is a, so if you're a program lead and you're looking at this and you're like, well, I didn't get that much for English as second language, it's because it includes all of our admin expenses. Then they make you put your budget by objectives, because they kind of want to take a look at what are we mostly focused on, and really the heavy hitting areas is in seamless transitions from non-credit to credit, addressing gaps in existing services and accelerated learning, and then you've got professional development and leveraging structures. We're falling in place with most of the consortium performance on objectives. And then now this is technically by object code, which is actual, this is sort of actual how we budget and put funding in these object codes. And over here is what we spent. So you can see out of 750,000, we've only spent 142, and that's low. We should probably be at the 50% mark if we had been funded in July. Mm-hmm. But by December, we should see most of the 750 expended. So that now I want to put your attention to the right side, which is 2016-17. And so this is what's new. And let me tell you about the challenge that we had, because we have no idea what we're awarding to our program leads. Sure. Mm-hmm. So this is putting the cart before the horse, but we have no choice because we have to turn it into the state. But the state lets you revise this budget. So we sort of have to just put our faith into the state allowing us to revise the budget after we've awarded the RFPs. So this is a little bit wonky. Now, they made us do it by program area and by objective, not actual, right? Yeah, program area, objective. Mm-hmm. So right. Bring us back over and correlate to the right. Okay, so then they also make us tell the world what we get from WIOA, what we get from Perkins, and again, that only serves adult, what we get from CalWORKs, what we get from LCFF, I forget what that stands for. Control, yes, local
that was
control.
A quiz. All right.
And then apportionment is what we get from the district for quote unquote butts in seats, and that's about what we get for adult, specifically for adult ed, and then we don't get any funding from the state or the feds for incarcerated adults, although we do have an incarcerated adults program. So WIOA, we basically split between two areas. It's adult high school GED and non-credit ESL. Mm-hmm. Our new Sylvia Morgan lead for that expends the WIOA funding, and we work together to make determinations. So just so you know, that has that funding in addition to the AEBG. So can you go back to the right? Thank you. We sort of loosely allocated here. Mm-hmm. This is going to change once mm-hmm. we do our requests for proposals and approve those. So in a way, you need to turn a blind eye to this allocation, because it's not real.
These are guesstimates.
It's guess. It's our best guess. It's the best Corley
exactly.
and I could do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those of us who deal with the state, we with higher authority, we know that we have to put in things on time.
Right. And
before,
this this also includes everything of the administrative expenses.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's minus, I think that's minus the 5%.
Indirect.
Thank you. Okay, and then I wanted to point to our activity sheets. So another thing that we had to do, which is really kind of frustrating, is we had to guess at our activities, not knowing who our program leads are. So I tried to keep them broad enough, and we can also revise these activities. So under objective 3, these are the activities to align regional academic and career pathways leading to employment and student transition. So again, I guessed at some of these activities based on our existing funding goals. And I did this So for objective three, I talked about short-term vocational programs, working with Corlay, and the one-stop, the new one-stop partnership that's
right.
going to help us with job assistance, job placement assistance efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Under four, this was how we are, objective four is activities and plans to address gaps in program services with your region. So this is where our Adults with Disabilities program comes in, because that we've lumped that into filling a gap, because it's a new program. And then also the other new program, Older Adults K through 12. Not sure we're going to get a proposal around that, but. And then also, objective five is accelerating student programs toward academic and career goals. And so this would be if we engage any consultants, you know, we'll need to have funding for that, to concentrate on job placement services. And we are tracking existing proposals that will likely continue in 16-17 in the non-credit ESL program. We have to put some funding towards enhancing student support services for non-credit students, because most of the SBCC student support service budget goes to helping credit students. So our goal is to facilitate change. And then objective six is for professional development. So the state wants us to focus on making sure that our staff and teachers are trained properly. And then seven is, how are we leveraging resources? And so this is where we talk about the Department of Rehabilitation and potentially leveraging the matching funds for a program. Again, not knowing how much funding we're anticipating that we will fund that. Also, the One Stop is another resource we need to leverage, and the County Public Library has discussed with us opportunities for resources. They were here at our last public meeting, so that was exciting. So again, I think we have to take action to approve this as it is, with an expectation that we may need to revise some of these activities depending on what we fund. But for I would entertain a motion that we approve this for purposes of submitting to the state with under the state requirement that it's due August 15th, but with an open mind for revisions in the future.
Well, I'd like to firstly thank you to both you and Corley for all the hard work you put in.
Yes.
Dealing with the state and deadlines that show up out of nowhere is almost an impossible task,
mm-hmm.
and you guys did a great job. I mean, it's a lot of work to pull together in a very short time, so thank you. Great job.
Thank you.
And I would like to entertain a motion or make a motion to approve.
And I'll second that motion. Oh. And with that second, I'd also like to add my thanks to Corley and Melissa. And I realize this is an incredible amount of work. And again, as Melissa pointed out a couple of times during her review, there is going to be coordination between what's going on here as well as the operations that we're doing out of the Workforce Development Board. And Melissa is going to be having a meeting with the operator very soon that I'm coordinating, so we're moving forward in that direction. So that was a very long second.
That was. For the vote, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And please make a note of Micheline's absence.
Yeah.
Great. So now we can move along to our, I hope that you've had a chance to review the second quarter reports from all of our program leads. and Corlay, is it your recommendation that the second quarterly reports be approved?
Yes, it is my recommendation that they are approved because they are still submitting their materials. I mean, the timeline that we have is just to make sure or to ensure that they stay on track to really expend those funds. So you'll notice that these reports were submitted about a month ago. And so there's been quite a bit of progress that hasn't been posted since. But that's why we have our third quarter reports, which will reflect many more changes. So I highly recommend that we do move forward and approve them as they stand, because the reporting is a tool mechanism just to show the consortium that they are progressing, they are moving forward. And based on the feedback I've received from each of our program leads who are going to be submitting requests for proposals, it does speak to that they are working together, and that the second quarter reports are in tandem with the RFPs so that they are on track and they are working for us.
So I'll entertain a motion that we approve the second quarter reports for the programs listed.
So we're approving these as a block?
Yeah, I'd like to approve it as a block,
okay.
But...
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? Okay, so...
Wait, I didn't hear anybody else.
Like, oh, I...
I thought maybe it was a one vote.
Thumbs up. Does that work for you, Ray?
Yeah.
So thumbs up. We have no more agenda items. That was a really efficient meeting. I'd like to move to adjourn or entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
I'll move on that.
Okay. The meeting is officially adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.